They're expecting autoimmune disease to go up by 80% in the next 20 years. Women in the household, we're the primary folks usually who buy everything for our household, and companies know exactly how to market to us. This is one of the reasons also why autoimmune disease in women, it's an epidemic. You could be doing all the right things and you're still seeing brain fog, fatigue, bloating, gut issues. We're getting 70% there, but I feel like we're 30% not there yet. I'm like, okay, what's going on in your house? Let's talk about what products you're using.
What are the top three hidden toxin sources you would expect to find?
I think first and foremost, it's
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Cancer Proof Living. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Michelle, an 8-year non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer survivor, a mom, and a certified integrative nutrition health coach. And after cancer, I wanted more than just survival. So I built the healing roadmap that I couldn't find. Now I guide survivors and cancer-conscious humans to detox, rebuild, and thrive. In this episode, I'm talking with Caitlin Fierro. I loved every single minute of this episode. Caitlin talks all about quiet, everyday exposures that can stress out our cells. She reveals the top three hidden toxin sources in our homes and how to reduce our toxic load without becoming overwhelmed or anxious. She also talks about the dangers in endocrine disruptors, especially for females. Caitlin Fierro is a functional nutritionist, toxic load expert, and the founder of Non-Toxic Homes, a functional wellness brand helping people heal from the inside out by addressing both internal imbalances and environmental exposures. After years of navigating an autoimmune condition that conventional medicine couldn't explain, Caitlin discovered functional healthcare and uncovered how deeply ingredients, environment, and toxic load impact every system in the body. That journey led her to specialize in working with people living with chronic disease, using functional testing and data-driven diagnostics to build personalized protocols based on evidence, not guesswork. Through advanced gut hormone and toxin testing, Caitlin creates targeted custom healing plans alongside a rigorously vetted non-toxic product shop that removes guesswork from daily living. Her work blends science-backed education, lived experience, and real-world practicality, making non-toxic living achievable instead of overwhelming. Her guide belief is simple. Health starts at home. Your body is your first home and your environment is the second. So grab a pen and paper because you will definitely need it. We talk about all of the things. Let's get it started. Hi, Caitlin. I'm so excited to talk to you today. We are going to dive into this big, beautiful world of non-toxic living. We're really going to focus this conversation today, you guys, on environmental toxins, cellular repair, and healing. And we have just Caitlin here, who's one of the experts that can really debunk a lot of myths out there and walk us through a less overwhelming view of non-toxic living. So I'm really excited for today's episode. Caitlin, welcome to Cancer Proof Living.
Thank you.
So let's get started a little bit with you. I'd love to learn more about your past. Was there a specific moment or experience that really pulled you into this world of non-toxic living?
Yeah. So in 2012, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition. And for 2 years, I was struggling and I was seeing all of the quote unquote, like best doctors in New York City and still getting nowhere. And I kept getting options for different medications and that just didn't feel right for my situation, right for my body. And then in 2014, I was referred to a naturopathic doctor and my view on health and healthcare and integrative or holistic medicine or whatever you want to call it was just completely changed. And for me, that really opened my eyes to realize that integrative medicine and functional testing uncover what's actually going on within our bodies where Western medicine just can't. And the real pivot for me in terms of toxins was I have celiac disease and I was getting rid of gluten. And I was like, wait a minute, there's gluten in skincare and supplements and lip gloss. And that really like cracked open this entire concept for me or like, okay, well, what else is in my everyday products? Like what else am I unknowingly exposed to? And that was really for me, the moment where I was like, okay, this is not just about what am I eating? This is also about like, what am I putting in and around my body and in my environment? And that really brought me to creating non-toxic homes. It's just, for me, I am obsessed with connecting the dots between gut health, immune health, hormone balance, and environmental toxins. And for me, like, my guiding principle now is just that, like, health starts at home.
I love that. Wait, what autoimmune disorder were you diagnosed with?
Celiac disease. And then I also had a very close, and this is a whole rabbit hole we can go down, diagnosis for Crohn's that I was able to reverse.
Good for you. That's amazing. That's really, really hard. Wow.
Yeah. And some other health things that were really scary, like that. Honestly, I truly believe I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't have this huge pivotal change in my healthcare.
I feel like a lot of people that I talk to that are in similar professions as you, in roles as you, it's such a pain to purpose journey that we all go through to get to the other side. And I feel like once you're able to connect the dots and get to the other side, you're like, I want to shout out from the rooftops. I want to help as many people as I can, because you know that there's so many people out there suffering or that haven't connected the dots. Like, before we hit record, you and I were talking about how in 2014 you were talking about don't use Windex and toxins, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing that in 2014 you were thinking that way. You changed your life, and probably because you had to, because you were getting flare-ups and things that were happening. But, you know, just thinking about like how many people that you've helped and just all the important information, even that you're going to share today, it's so beneficial. It's so hard not to think, like, you know, even for me too, going through cancer and everything, like, I know this is my purpose in life, is to help people and to help people recover and help prevent. And, you know, maybe this is just all of our journeys to be able to really do what we're supposed to do and why we're put here on earth, right?
Yep, 100%. I wouldn't change. I always say to people, like, I wouldn't change what I've been through because it brought me here.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you said that it kind of made you question everyday products once you found out you had celiacs, right? Not thinking about gluten and skincare and makeup and things outside of food. I feel like, and we said this offline too, that non-toxic living is having a moment, right? And food and nutrition is always at the forefront of everything, but understanding that food and nutrition is just one piece of that puzzle and not the entire puzzle. And at least from a cancer prevention perspective, from me, knowing that so many diagnoses occur from environmental exposures. I think that it's been debunked that cancer is just genetic at this point. 5 to 10% of our genetics play a piece in a cancer diagnosis, right? The rest is our lifestyle, and that includes the environmental piece. So I really am excited to dive deep into that because it matters. And every small swap matters. Every small change matters. I feel like people think that they have to like go ham and like clean the whole house out and do everything all at once. And I always tell my clients, I'm like, one swap at a time can make a dramatic difference, right?
Totally.
Was there ever a season for you where you felt that all of this knowledge and like non-toxic living knowledge felt overwhelming or even scary, didn't know where to start? Like, how did you dip your toe into that world?
I mean, listen, of course this world can be overwhelming, but I think I will say that I'm one of those people that like when I commit to something, I dive deep. I'm one of those people that like, I don't give up. And I often say to a lot of my friends, like, if you want to go down a rabbit hole, I'm like, just call me. I'm like, chances are I've already gone down that rabbit hole. But I think, listen, there's a moment in everyone's journey where you want to just like throw everything out, move to a farm, completely start over.
I still want to do that.
I know, literally, I was just telling you we're moving to Texas. So I'm like, no, yeah, I obviously want to do that.
Especially with the egg debacle now, like everybody get their own chickens, feed them what you want to feed them and call it a day.
Yeah. 2 months from now, if we were to talk again, you'll see my chickens like hopefully in the background.
I'll pay you to send me eggs.
Yeah. But it's just, that's not realistic. And so I think what I always try and tell people is that there's like a strategy to this, right? And for me, it was about like focusing on one area at a time. Like at first it was diet and pantry. Okay, like what am I eating? Like where are the additives there? Then you can move on to another area. Cleaning, laundry, kitchen. Do that, move on to the next. So I think that's the way for this not to feel overwhelming. And I think the other piece is holding yourself accountable. Like, I have a toxin-free reset program. I do one-on-one with clients where I literally help them go non-toxic at home. And it's really fun work. I think that, like, they love it as much as I love it. We also base it on their health history. Sometimes we do some functional testing. It's very cool. But I say all that to say that we put deadlines on this. So I always ask people in our first initial call, okay, when do you want to have like a mostly non-toxic home? And they give me a date. Okay, a year from now. I'm like, great. Then we're going to look at even numbers. Say it's 100 products. We're going to get rid of 25 products every quarter and you're going to bring in new ones. And honestly, half of the time, you don't even need 25 new products. Like, that's another piece of this non-toxic living that I think people don't think about. You don't need a one-for-one product swap. Like, I had someone the other day DMing me about shaving cream. And I messaged him back. I'm like, you don't need shaving cream. The body wash that you buy from our store, just use that. I'm like, you don't need, you know, like, you don't, your toilet bowl cleaner and the cleaner for your bathroom is, like, just a little bit different in terms of water amount. So, like, there are all these other pieces to non-toxic living about how to simplify it and make it less overwhelming that I think people just don't think about.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's so interesting once you step out of, like, the traditional world, you're like, oh, marketing really screwed me. I really thought I had to buy 500 different products for everything in my house. And, like, so I use Branch Basics all the time. And it's like using that taught me, like, oh, it's really about the concentrations, playing around with how much soap versus how much water. And you can literally use one concentrated soap for so everything in your house. Like, I never buy an array of products anymore. So I think it's a good point. It's good to point out marketing and CPG companies want to make money. They are going to sell you separate products for everything. It doesn't mean we need it. But I love your program. That sounds fascinating. And I feel like we're finally walking into this era where so many people would really appreciate and value that too. And I love that you're pairing with functional testing because you can say like, oh, you have heavy metals. This is a good swap for you, you know, or whatever the case is. It makes such good sense. I always tell my clients too, like as you get started, as something runs out, replace it with a non-toxic version. You're not going to get overwhelmed with that. Everyone runs out of toothpaste. Everyone runs out of deodorant. And it's really about just having backup swaps, you know, the non-toxic things on hand where you're like, okay, I know exactly the products I want to try or go for, because it also is expensive to try all the products. So when you have somebody like yourself that's like, hey, I already know what works. I've tried 99% of everything out there. This is my go-tos. Choose from these two. You know, like it takes the overwhelm out for people so much. And that's really good to know about your program too. I love that.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So when we say toxic load and we're talking about toxins that are entering in our body, what are we actually talking about on a cellular level? Like, how is that affecting us on that cellular level?
Yeah. So toxic load is the total burden essentially that your body has to process. That can be chemicals, mold, pesticides, endocrine disruptors, heavy metals, even chronic stress, which I won't go down that rabbit hole today, but that is definitely a toxin. And at the cellular level, it can drive oxidative stress. It can impair your detox pathways. It can keep your immune system highly activated. It can disrupt hormone signaling. And I always say to people, like, it's rarely one dramatic exposure, right? Like, it's very rare for someone to have like a true chemical exposure. That does not happen often, especially in the current times. It's usually like that slow drip of everyday inputs. And your liver and your gut and your immune system and your kidneys and your lymphatic system, they're all just working overtime all the time. And that's the opposite of what you want. You want, especially your immune system, to work when you need it. You don't want it to be working so hard all the time that when you need it, it can't do its job. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I think people think of toxins as a dramatic exposure, like truly. And I think I did too before I knew better. I will say though, I was exposed to mold and I had three times the amount of mold in my body than a normal person and three different types of mold. So like that was a dramatic exposure.
That's a dramatic level. Mold is a rabbit hole of dramatic exposure we could go down because I had the same thing happen to me. And it was part of my health journey, and mold is no joke. That's one thing I will say.
Mold is no joke. Yeah, that is one that I feel like is a dramatic exposure, but you said it so well that it's like the quiet everyday exposures that stress out our cells continuously where the body doesn't get a break. It's so true. And then, you know, when your immune system's down, it can't do the surveillance that it needs to in your body. And it's like you're just opening yourself up for so much more. So it's such a big piece of not only cancer prevention, but prevention for so many other diseases, so many other, really a lot of autoimmune diseases as well. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's a couple of years ago, and that's how I found like the mold and stuff like that. So I feel like that opened up my eyes to all like the non-toxic living and just really cleaning up the environment and being aware that, hey, it's toothpaste, it's deodorant, it's our pots and pans, our water. Like, and then you realize, okay, it is these small everyday exposures and that rain bucket, you know, tolerance that we all have.
Yeah. And women, we have higher adipose tissue in our body. We have higher fat tissue in our body. Toxins love fat tissue. So what's very interesting scientifically is that women actually, A, we're exposed to more toxins because we use more products, right? The average man uses about 6 to 8 products a day. Women could be 20 to 40. Like, we use so many products. And then you layer on that we've got more fat tissue, which we hold on to toxins more. And so this is, I believe, one of the reasons also why autoimmune disease in women, it's an epidemic now. When you actually look at it, it's a complete epidemic. I want to say that they're expecting autoimmune disease to go up by 80% in the next 20 years. I mean, that's insane. That's like saying that, and right now, most women are, I hate to say this, but like, we're leading the charge in these diagnoses. Now, there's a whole other like rabbit hole we could go down where, like, I always say to people, like, you are not your diagnosis. And so there's a lot of conversation, I think, around that in the autoimmune space, Hashimoto's, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, right? There's a lot you can actually do from a functional healthcare stance to quiet the noise a little bit there, lower the symptoms, right? Lower flare-ups. But it is really sad because women are really struggling from a health perspective. And we also just go through more hormonal life changes, right? Pregnancy, postpartum, perimenopause, menopause, like, our bodies go through so much in our life that these like quiet toxic exposures that cause other illnesses, diseases, it's just a lot.
And I think too, like, to piggyback off that with women, we could go down that rabbit hole too, but there's a whole emotional and mental, you know, perspective of it where we're the caregivers, you know, we tend to people please. We tend to carry the emotional load of our kids and our husbands. And, you know, we put this like kind of silent pressure on ourselves, or sometimes it's put on us. And, you know, that side, the emotional side, can also really affect our immune system and everything too. And, you know, I think sometimes we even learn that from, you know, very young ages, you know, to be good and, you know, just go with the flow and don't disrupt things. And then we all grow up and we're like perfectionists and have autoimmune disorders. Like, awesome. But it's insane that it's supposed to go up 80%. And this is, again, like, one piece of the puzzle that we can control and have control over. I feel like sometimes people think when you hear like stats like that, like, oh, there's nothing I can do, I'm just going to throw the towel in. When it's like, no, that should empower you to know my daily choices truly affect me from the inside out, you know, like, use it as empowerment versus fear. So there's a lot of fear out there and we need to like flip the script a little bit.
Yeah, 100%.
Can your home environment keep your nervous system and your immune system in a constant stress response? And you kind of like touched on that too, right? When the immune system's like working in overdrive, is that the same thing?
Yeah. But I think from a hormonal perspective, like, endocrine disruptors, they can mimic hormones, they can block receptors, they can change how the body metabolizes hormones. And this can show up in a number of different ways. It can be PMS, irregular cycles, estrogen dominance patterns, thyroid dysfunction, which is a huge one I'm seeing. Infertility for men, low testosterone, sperm quality issues, and so much more.
And think about all the infertility issues that women are having now. It used to be so uncommon, and now it's like, what, 1 in 2? God knows.
Yeah, it's insane. And I could talk about that whole thing for hours and hours because I helped 3 women get pregnant this year. 2 of them were not able to get pregnant for 2 years. Another one was 4 years.
Wow.
You know, and so sometimes we do some of this like functional testing, removing toxins, balancing the gut, balancing the hormones naturally, and that stuff happens. And so I think for those folks, it really opens their eyes to like, I just didn't even think about this aspect. Like I didn't think about, and it's kind of a cultural thing too. Like women and like kind of what you were saying, women in the household, we're the primary folks usually who buy everything for our household, personal care, household products, and we're marketed to constantly. And we're often the decision makers in our home, and companies know exactly how to market to us. They know how to speak to our emotions. They know how to get us to buy more skincare, more beauty, more cleaning products, different laundry detergents for baby, toddler, parents. And I'm like, if these were truly non-toxic products, you could use the same laundry detergent for every person in your house, you know? And so it's what you were saying about this like added layer.
Yeah. And CPG companies have millions and millions and millions of dollars to market directly to us. They know exactly how to touch every emotional pain point we have to buy the things that they want us to buy.
Yes.
That's a really good point. What are some of the other signs that the body can be reacting to environmental toxins or stressors that people often miss, or symptoms?
I think it's hard to say because it's not like it's in isolation, but I think what you'll see is some of these things that I mentioned, right? Like you could be doing all the quote unquote right things and you're still seeing brain fog, you're seeing fatigue, you're seeing even sometimes bloating, gut issues, like you're seeing irritability, especially. That's a big one, especially when it comes to fragrance and endocrine disruptors. And I think for a lot of people, when I'm working with them one-on-one, if we're doing all the right things, let's say more on like the gut and hormone side, but we're not having that conversation about toxins quite yet, we're doing all the right things and we're getting 70% there, but I feel like we're 30% not there yet, we start having that conversation. Because if they're still seeing those symptoms, I'm like, okay, what's going on in your house? Like, let's have that conversation. Let's talk about what products you're using. And I think people don't even realize what they're using sometimes day to day. Like I will ask people like, do you know how many products you use on a daily basis? And they're like, I don't know, like 8. And then if I'm doing the toxin free reset program with someone, I literally look at all of their products.
And you're like 56.
Literally, like it's crazy. Like even men now too. Men are using more products now more than ever because they're being marketed to as well. And men are like, oh, I need this like manly black bottle of moisturizer. And I'm like, this is literally the exact same as your wife's moisturizer.
They just put black.
In a black bottle or a green bottle and said that you needed it. So it's very, the marketing piece, like you were saying, not to get off tangent, but it's very interesting because it really controls a lot of the purchasing power for folks.
Yeah, I know before I got diagnosed with Hashi's, I was like, I just had my second daughter and I thought it was like post-pregnancy stuff that I was experiencing, but I had so much brain fog and bad fatigue. I could not lose a pound if my life depended on it. Irritability, but like a lot of people ask me like, well, what do you mean brain fog? And I'm like, it's literally like you cannot concentrate on anything. You walk into a room, you have no idea why you're there. You kind of feel like you're floating throughout the day. It's really hard to like get shit done and to rein yourself in. It's a really debilitating. If you've ever experienced brain fog, you know it's very debilitating. And I agree with you. When I started to reverse Hashimoto's, like 99% of my symptoms completely went away when I started to clean up my diet and environment. So do you think that inflammation from toxins from like the environment is different from the food that we eat?
I feel like it's different inputs, but the same fire kind of, right? Like diet's a big driver, but toxins can also keep the inflammatory bucket really full, even when diet is perfect. This is why for me, like I always say, my practice is the integration of functional nutrition and reducing toxic load, because I felt like, even when I was getting the best functional care, that was the missing piece. And I also think, and this is like a Western cultural issue, we don't have, like, in the United States, like, standard detox practices. We don't have regular detoxification going on in a daily, weekly perspective, or even on an annual basis. Like, when I talk to people, I'm like, are you doing some form of detox at least once a year? And they're like, well, I'm taking a juice cleanse. I'm like, no. Let's talk about, like, what a real detox is.
Yeah, you should talk about that. What are some really good detoxes that people should be doing once a year?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer of at least one sort of, like, gut reset or like parasite heavy metal detox cleanse. I think they are incredible.
Well, doesn't, like, every other country do parasite cleanses?
Once a year.
There's one country, I can't remember which one is off the top of my head, but they have hospitals just if you have parasites, like separate hospitals.
Yeah, you walk into a PCP in so many countries and they're like, oh, have you done your annual parasite cleanse? No, okay, here's these herbs, go home and do this, come back in 3 weeks. Like, that's very normalized in other countries, and it's not normalized here. And there's this belief that we don't have parasites in this country. And I'm like, that's absolutely not true. And especially if you eat conventional meat and conventional veggies, where the farms are right next to each other and they're spraying fecal matter water onto your vegetables, you definitely have parasites.
Or eat pork, eating pork, raw fish, have dogs, have pets, have kids. Like, it's everywhere. I don't think that our country wants us to normalize parasite cleanse because it does make us healthier on some level, but or on a lot of levels. I feel like people have such resistance to parasite cleanses.
I did for a while too. Like, I will be honest, I was like, this is kind of like, and I'm a woo-woo gal. I'll do anything woo-woo. I'll do anything crazy. Like, I've done every diet. I've done every cleanse. Like, I will try anything.
I love woo-woo too. Yeah.
Like, you got an idea. I'm like a walking science experiment for myself. And when I did my first parasite cleanse, my husband and I did it together. I couldn't even believe that he agreed to do this with me.
Yeah, good for him.
I was appalled with what came out of me.
Okay, that's why people are afraid, because they think, like, worms are going to come out of their butt.
And I mean, they do, but they're dead and they're also buried in fecal matter. And, you know, I'm a little different. Like, they were coming out of me. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I'm very, you know, I'm in my toilet, like, fishing through to be like, where are you, worms? Like, you know, like, I'm a rare breed. Like, I want to see it. Like, for me, I'm like.
So you were hunting for them, for sure.
Yeah, I was like, where are you? I want to see you. What do you look like? What kind of worms are you? Like, are you a pinworm, a hookworm? Like, I need to know. But, like, I did this for the first time 2 years ago. I've been living an extremely healthy life for over a decade, and that came out of me. So, like, now imagine if you're not living an extremely healthy life, like, what would come out of you? What about for folks who don't have a bowel movement every day, right? If you don't have a bowel movement every day, there's something serious going on, and you're literally holding onto waste in your body.
Which is contributing to your toxic load at the end of the day, too.
100%. And I think there is this fear around parasite cleanses. And I think that people have to look at them as, like, yes, it's a parasite cleanse to remove the parasites, but it's also, like, just a really good clean out. Like, you, and when you do it, you know, your colon's 22 feet long. Like, your colon needs an annual clean out, right? Because that's where waste is, and toxins and mucus and all these different things, yeast, right?
You do a parasite cleanse through your practice?
Yeah, I do one through my practice. Yeah, and there's a guide also on our website that's, like, the best resource. It's, like, so cheap. It's $49. It's a, like, parasite. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great price. Oh, my gosh.
So cheap. Yeah, I mean, you still need to buy, like, supplements and things on top of it to aid with the actual cleanse, but it's, like, a full 10 to 15-page PDF guide on, like, how to properly do a parasite cleanse by yourself at home.
Okay, so parasite cleanse, what's some other ways that people can do a yearly or bi-yearly detox?
Yeah, I think doing gut testing. I wish that every single person at their GP every year got, like, a proper stool sample.
Wouldn't that be nice? And then it would be covered by insurance, and that would be even better?
Even better, yeah.
I'm about to do one in a couple of weeks. I haven't done one in 2 years, so I'm going to do one in a couple of weeks, yeah.
Okay, I'm excited for you. You'll have to tell me all the things. I'm always when people are like, I ran labs. I'm like, what'd you find? yeah. So I would say, like, a gut test at least once a year. I love the GI map. That's what I use in my practice. I think it's the most accurate stool tests in the market. It looks at everything from bacteria, microbiome imbalances, potential underlying infections. You can even get some good info about like the liver, recirculating estrogen, your pancreas. And the GI map has a lot of very interesting data, your immune system, overall inflammation. Like, it's great. So I think that's really good to do once a year. And I also think detoxification on like a daily, weekly basis, right? Like, I drink lemon water every day when I wake up. That helps with bile flow. That helps with just helping your liver and detoxification. Like, supporting your liver is so important. I have a rebounding trampoline, which when I first bought it, I'm like, this is absurd. Like, I'm actually not going to do this. And I do it every day. It actually makes me laugh. It also brings me joy, which is also really good for detoxification, right? Like, I put my earbuds in, I jump on it, dance on it for 10 minutes, I'm done, right? That's getting my lymphatic system moving.
Sauna's a good one too, sweat out. Isn't the saunas really good for getting out like heavy metals?
Yes, sauna's great. And you have to shower right after though. This is the big thing that people do that like gives me the ick. They sauna and then they like go on with their day. And I'm like, no. It's literally coming out. You have to shower right away to get it off your body. Yeah.
That's a good tip. Also, do you have to open your detox pathways before you go in for a sauna?
When I'm in the sauna, I'll do like a little lymphatic drainage. Like, I'll kind of like massage here. I'll go here. I do my thighs a bit. It's good to do it while you're there. You don't have to. I also love to take a binder after I sauna.
After?
Yeah. Right after I take the biotoxin binder.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, I feel like two people think that like detoxing is the big cleanse or juice. Like, people just associate juice cleanses with detoxing, which I just personally don't believe in.
It's a great way to ruin your blood sugar.
Yes. And it's the everyday things, right? Eating good detoxifying foods, the beets, the lemon water that you mentioned. You know what I'm really into right now is the digestive bitters. I've been taking those.
Digestive bitters or digestive enzymes are like, should be everyone's best friend. I feel like I was just texting with one of my clients this morning and she texted me and was like, this, like, critical digestion, just a digestive enzyme. She's like, this is changing my life. I'm like, I know. Like, and you don't need them all the time.
Does it help with stomach acid, right? It helps restore.
Well, yes. But that is, I love to use Hydrazyme, which is a hydrochloric acid, which to help restore stomach acid. It actually is one of my favorite supplements because I do something called an HCL challenge, which is like, I have my clients like titrate up with hydrochloric acid and then titrate down. And it retrains your body to make stomach acid. So it's not even like a permanent supplement. It's something that like you need for a period of time. You'll know when you're having like a little bit of a reaction to it, which is just like, you get a little bit of like warming, maybe like a little bit of like indigestion a bit. And then that'll happen. Let's say someone had like four pills and I'm like, okay, go down to three, stay at three at each meal until you feel that again, go down to two, go down to one. Okay. You don't need it anymore. And your body now has enough stomach acid. And that's a whole other thing we could talk about, like stomach acid, and modern life has now ruined everyone's stomach acid.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I felt like there was like a shift in my gut a few months ago. So I'm like, okay. And I'm just always use myself as a guinea pig. And so I started like doing a few things and I feel so much better. And like I'm like obsessed with digestive bitters right now.
So good. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that a healthy lifestyle can offset a toxic load if you have a toxic load in your environment?
I mean, it helps, but it doesn't cancel it, right? Like, we're talking about detoxification, right? Like, because we're not detoxifying, if you've got this toxic load and it's building up, but you're like working out and eating clean, okay, that's not gonna like fully remove all of these toxins. And you can't out supplement constant exposure. You can't out sweat constant exposure, right? Like, we're exposed to, I was kind of saying this earlier, but we're exposed to hundreds of toxins a day. Some research is saying that we're exposed to about 700 a day just in modern living, right? Waking up, brushing your teeth, using mouthwash, right? Washing your face, using face lotion, even if you're very basic, going downstairs, spraying your countertops, right? Like, the average person, they say, even people who aren't like super clean freaks, clean for at least an hour a day. And so when you think about that, just like constant exposure, the short answer is like, you can't ignore it, and your healthy lifestyle isn't going to like completely offset it if it's just constant for your whole life.
It's kind of like that phrase, you can't out-exercise a bad diet, right? Like, it helps,
but it's not going to completely take it away. Anyway, I feel like when I was like going through a lot of my symptoms, I remember telling my functional doctor, I'm like, I feel, this is dramatic, but I was like, I feel like I'm like a pot of water on the stove. And the second I have anything that's not the best for me, or if I, you know, go out or do something, the pot overboils and water spilling out everywhere. And I'm getting swollen and this and that, you know, and getting all of these symptoms and the brain fog. And it was because my boiling pot of water was so full because of my environment and like, you know, gluten and dairy and the things that were really irritating me and the mold that was in my body that it just like was too much. And then you just overspill. And I think that's also why some people who are like, I used to eat this all the time and I never had a reaction and now I'm eating it and I do, or I used to do this all the time and it was no big deal. Like, well, because that cumulative load that we have has just gotten so ramped up. It's so overloaded that now we're having symptoms. So knowing that we're just, I mean, I can only imagine in 2026 how many chemicals we're exposed to. When you say 700, it's shocking, but I'm also not surprised at all. But it is concerning. Okay, so if you walked into an average home, or as you start working with a client that's hired you to help detoxify their life, so to speak, what are kind of like the top three hidden toxin sources you would expect to find?
I think first and foremost, it's laundry. For me, like laundry is just, conventional laundry gives me the huge ick. Like it is, because it's everywhere in your house. You think, and you wear it 24/7, right? It's on your clothes. It's on your undergarments. It's in your towels, your bedding. Like you are just constantly exposed to it. And I think people just don't think about that. Air quality is so poor nowadays. Air quality inside can be 8 to 10 times more toxic than outdoor air quality. And people just aren't doing anything about it. And I think personal care products, they're just getting worse and worse. The quality is getting worse and worse over time. And if I had to give you a bonus one, yeah, bad. But if I had to give you a bonus one, I will say water, right? Like even my water, I live in New Jersey, and there's this like weird thing about like, oh, New Jersey and New York has the best water. They have the best bagels. And I'm like, whoever made up this phrase, like it's just absurd, because you can go on the EWG. They have a great resource. I love it for anyone who's listening to this. Like go to the EWG.com, look at their water, their tap water, put in your zip code. It'll tell you what's in your water, right? My water where I live, arsenic, chloroform, nitrates.
Chloroform?
Chloroform in your water.
Like the stuff that you put on the thing that puts you to sleep?
Yes, in your water. Yeah, there's prescription drugs in our water now. Like there's just so much in our water.
Birth control. They're saying birth control is in our water too.
Birth control is in our water. Prescription drugs are in. Yes. Yes. So like, you know, I think people just don't think about it. We use water for everything, right? Like you make a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. My biggest thing is like showering, brushing your teeth. When people make pasta and they're using tap water, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't watch it, because I'm like, it's just like cooking into your already probably low quality noodle. You know,
like, it's just your shitty noodles have shitty water.
Literally, like one of the least nutrient dense foods of all time. Now you're just filling it with chloroform and arsenic. It probably already has arsenic actually, but like more, you know?
Okay, so what's your go-to laundry detergent?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I have tried every laundry detergent, non-toxic one that is truly non-toxic from my standards on the market. We carry two in our store, Root and Splendor. It's a liquid detergent. Incredible. The mom who came up with it, she's got four boys. They're like outdoor boys. And her whole concept was she wanted to create a non-toxic detergent that worked to get stains out of dirty boys' clothes.
Yes, because sometimes the non-toxic, I mean, I have kids. My kids come back stained every day. And it's so like, it's a part-time job to get stains out. And then I'm just like, screw it. Throw the damn pants away. It's not worth it because I'm sweating trying to get something out.
Yes, but their detergent and their stain remover, we carry both, incredible. And then I just started carrying a new brand called Washed Up Powder Laundry Detergents. For years, I'd only carried Root and Splendor, and people were like, we want powder. I came across this new brand based out of Texas. Incredible. Like the powder detergent just works. I washed a bunch of our white sneakers in it the other day, and I was like, oh my God, look how clean these sneakers came without me having to like, you know, do the mom thing and like, scrub and do all that. I'm like, I'm just gonna throw them in and see what happens. Clean.
Okay. Do you have a whole home water filtration system?
We don't, because I live in a very old house, so we actually can't fit one in our basement. But we're moving, and so that's like number one on my list. Right now we've got shower filters, bath filter, under the sink, kitchen. Yeah, like we've got where a filter could be, we have them.
Yeah, I know. That's how like we started to go. We built a brand new home. And then when we were doing this, when I was starting my non-toxic journey and my husband got on board, he said, well, we're not going to put filters. I'm like, we just need to get the whole house done. And honestly, it wasn't as bad as I thought, like cost-wise. And I think people have this narrative in their head that it's so hard to upkeep, you know, and it's not. You change a filter every 6 months. It takes less than 20 seconds. And you just feel better and feel different knowing that you're getting good quality water, because water is one of the most toxic things around us is tap water. I truly believe it. I was out to lunch. I was out with my girlfriend, and we were at a restaurant, and she ordered a water, and she knows like my stance and everything. She took a sip of it. She's like, do not drink that. She's like, I can literally taste bleach in it. Do not drink that. And I was like, it's so funny. Once you're removed from it and then you go back and you taste something, you're like, this is a void. This isn't going to do it. And I think too, when we were having these like big conversations around products, around detergents, like these are things that not only affect us as individuals, but our families too. When I think about my kids and how I'm raising them, and I have girls, we all know girls are getting their periods earlier and earlier, you know, the hormone disruptors, the makeup, but also really the detergent. You were talking about like your ick with detergent. One of my icks with detergent is like, if I'm like walking somewhere and someone walks by me and I can smell the fabric softener, and I'm like, no, like I just want to like grab them and shake them. But you know, people grow up in a certain way and they're not exposed to this type of information. So we might sound woo-woo, but I promise you guys, like hormone disruptors are a thing. It is contributing to our health. It is making a difference. Just one swap of putting a water filter on your kitchen sink, one swap of a different laundry detergent can change a lot in your body.
Yes. 100%.
What room in the home is usually the most toxic, do you think?
What room in the home is the most toxic? Oh, gosh. I think the kitchen.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think the kitchen. Because when I think about like a conventional home and like what's in the kitchen, we're talking like plastic, nonstick cookware, conventional cleaning products.
Cooking water. Cutting boards.
Yeah, it's just, and like there's heat involved. So we're talking about like heat and plastic. I just, all of that.
And even like the cooking fumes we don't think about too. Like whenever I cook, I always crack my window open because I'm like, it's, you know, I have a gas stove. I know it emits things, you know, just get it out.
Yeah. Oh, I always forget about the gas stove because we don't have one anymore. But yes, gas stoves. Awful. They banned them in New York City.
Oh my God, really? Shit.
Yes. They banned, like, I think it was last year or the year before, they banned them in New York City in every apartment. They're starting, I don't know the exact regulation on like how they're going to get all these out, because I remember this coming out and being like, do they think every New York City landlord is going to like get rid of all these? So I don't know exactly what's happened since then, but yeah.
Oh my gosh. Illinois is so behind.
Gas fireplaces too. People are getting them now because they're pretty and they're easy. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was the first thing when we got this house. That was the first thing I got rid of. It's awful. It was a brand new oven, brand new stove, and I gave it away to somebody and got a new one. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I had electric in the city for 7 years and I just hated it. So I was like, oh, gas, it's more natural. Like in my head, that's how I'm, it's fire. It's like real fun, you know, like justifying it in such a way. Damn it.
Yeah, but I feel like they're temperamental. You like have to get used to them. They get way hotter. So like I cook on low to medium because they like are so much hotter and they retain heat in your pan so much better actually. So you can't like cook on high.
I feel like it's not even heat though. I feel like half of it would get super hot and half of it wouldn't. It wasn't like evenly distributed. And that's what pissed me off.
Well, the new good ones are good though. You just need a new good one.
Okay. Damn it. Okay. My husband's not going to like that. It's not going to like that.
I know. I'm like everyone's husband's worst nightmare.
How long does it take for the body to benefit from reducing exposures? Like, especially since you do like the functional testing with it, if you are working with someone and you test them when you first start working with them, would you test them again to see like, okay, let's see the changes in heavy metals or whatever you're specifically checking? Like, how long does that normally take?
Oh, well, I love to do that. Not every client wants to do it because they don't want to pay for the testing twice. But I'm like, if we're doing the testing, we should do it. We should implement these changes and then redo the testing. I mean, how long to see the benefit? Some people see it in literally weeks. Like, I've had people come to me and be like, we get rid of fragrance in their home as a baseline. That's always my first thing. Like, toss the candles, get rid of the laundry detergent, get rid of Febreze, like, get rid of Fabuloso. Like, let's just get rid of all of this plugins if you're still using that. And I'll have people in a week be like, wow, like, my brain fog is so much better. And then from like a physiological detoxification standpoint, it really depends on the person. It also depends on like, are they doing something to detox, right? But I like to test people typically about 6 months to a year later and see like, okay, what's going on. Typically when folks are doing this with me though, one-on-one, we are doing some sort of detoxification as well.
Yeah, I remember there was like a study that came out when they were talking about buying organic food and glyphosate and all the like herbicides and pesticides in it, right?
3 days.
Three to five days. And they saw a change in their, I think it was in urine.
Like a 90% reduction in glyphosate in their urine in 3 days.
Yes. Did you hear about this study? It was all over, it was all over my Instagram algorithm, but I knew about it before. It's a PubMed article. It was a study that was done associating breast tissue with personal care products.
Yes.
Yes. So for anybody listening that doesn't know, there was a study done, I think it was in 2024, where they took a controlled group of women and they said, stop using conventional personal care products. So like deodorant, toothpaste, Dove, you know, Dove soap. I don't want to say Dove specifically, but like conventional products like that, shampoo, conditioner. And they said, use these non-toxic versions. And they were testing, obviously, before they were doing a 28-day window. So they tested blood and, you know, all the normal stuff, but they also took a breast tissue sample.
So did they do the thermography? I think I saw this.
Well, I think it was actually a breast tissue sample that they took from each woman. And then at the end of the 28 days, they didn't really anticipate like, you know, the studies say that they kind of knew what they would see in the blood markers, like inflammation going down and things like that, right? But they didn't anticipate to see that breast tissue that had abnormal cells or precancerous cells reverted back to normal cells by the end of 28 days. So 28 days. So that's why I tell like my clients all the time, swap your body's wash, you know, or your shampoo and conditioner. Like, even if it's not the best non-toxic choice, if you're buying one that doesn't have fragrance, if you're buying one that's at least phthalate-free and paraben-free and you think you're making the best choice, even that is better than going and using the Pantene's and Dove's of the world, right? There's so many carcinogens in there. And so 28 days, you can start to change cancerous cells in your body. And I'm like, this should be in the front of every newspaper. This needs to be told to everybody because it's amazing news. And it just goes to show you how swaps can be so incredibly beneficial, honestly.
Yeah, I always say this to folks, like, and people are like, why do you do this? Why, like, you know, and I've got like naysayers who are like, you're obsessed. Like, why do you care so much? And I'm like, for me, I want the absolute best for myself and for my family. This lifestyle brings me peace, actually. Like, it makes me feel like my genetics don't matter at all. That my epigenetics and the lifestyle that I live matter way more. And if someday someone's like, well, you can't guarantee you're not going to get sick. I'm like, yeah, I know that. I can't guarantee I'm not going to get sick. But what I can say, and wholeheartedly I believe this, is if one day I get sick in a big way and I need my immune system, it's going to show up for me. Like, it's going to come through because my immune system is in a great place. Because it's not bombarded all day long. My sanctuary where I live is a safe place for my body.
No, I think that's such a smart point too. Like, control what you can control. There's so much we can't control out there, but when we can control the controllables, it empowers us, makes us feel good. Like you said, the epigenetics, your immune system is working at full blast. So you know that your DNA is not being damaged. You are not turning on those bad genes that could create A, B, and C, and you can feel good about that. And I'm sure you're being a really wonderful role model to your family as well. And like raising your son, you know, in a different environment, you know, we're also, as moms, I mean, that's a totally different rabbit hole, how much we have to fight against school, food, snacks, birthday parties, and not go crazy over it and really realize, honestly, at the end of the day, the biggest population that's being overburdened is kids. 100%.
Yeah, it's very scary. And, you know, I go to, my son is 3 years old. We're at a kid's birthday party every weekend, you know, like you're in that phase. And I bring him a homemade gluten-free bagel and I bring him a homemade dessert and he doesn't eat anything at these birthday parties. And listen, he's three. Like right now I can control that. He doesn't care.
It changes. Trust me, it changes. It's hard.
It changes. But for me, people are like, well, why do you do that? Why not just let him eat it at the party? I'm like, well, first of all, there's a party every weekend. So that would be like 15% of our time, right? Let's look and actually like from a percentage wise, that's a good amount of time. And for me, what I'm trying to instill in my son isn't restriction. It's like values and morals around like treating your body like a temple, right? Like nourishing your body. It's not about like, I'm very particular with verbiage around food. I don't want my son to be like healthy, unhealthy, good, bad. For me, it's more about like what nourishes our body, why we don't eat certain things or why we only eat certain things sometimes, right? Like, and I was so proud of him, actually. He went to school, like his first day of school ever, like 2 months ago. And I picked him up at school and his teacher's like, you know, he went around today, like he's really chatty. And I was like, oh, good. Yeah, he's chatty. And she's like, he told everybody that he's gluten free and that he doesn't want to have pizza day because it's not good for his garden and his belly. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Did you start crying? Because when I hear something like that, I literally start crying.
I was literally like tearing up. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, how do I preserve this forever? Will he always say those things?
Oh, that's so sweet. No, it's good. I agree with you. It's really about educating, right? And teaching them to think differently and look at food differently and always not as a reward. Like I've noticed this becoming a mom. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old that like everything that they do, people give them, here's a sucker for going to the doctor. Here's a sticker for pushing a grocery cart. It's like, why are we always getting rewarded? And why is it always food rewarding? You know, it's just like such a weird concept to me where I'm like, you know, and then I remember my daughter was like, well, oh, like, do I get a treat if I, I'm like, no, that's not,
no,
I don't get a treat if I go to work. Like, no, that's not how we do things. And I don't know. Yeah. But that's amazing. I think teaching and educating and coaching is really incredibly important for this next generation, especially as like we're making the changes in the household, just understanding and identifying, you know, what's great for our body, what's not so good, what's really not good for our body is just really important. So, okay, if you have somebody that joins your program and they're like, I want to clean out my house, I want a non-toxic lifestyle, walk me through the process of what you do with them and what it looks like. So if anyone's listening right now, they know exactly some steps they could use going forward, but also what your services provide too.
Yeah. So I work with people all over the United States. So we do this virtually too, which is really cool. So if someone's coming on board and they want to do my toxin-free reset program, first and foremost, we decide like, what are we doing? I've done things with folks where it's really simple. We're just looking at personal care or we're just looking at like cleaning, laundry, kitchen. All the way to like, I've helped someone build a home and choose materials, furniture, carpet, paint, clothing, like I've been deep. It really depends on where someone's at in their journey and what's important to them. So first it's about identifying like, okay, what are you focusing on? So if you're doing that with me, that's how we do it. If you're doing this at home on your own, it should be exactly the same. One thing at a time and give yourself a timeline. So if it's, let's say personal care and you want to do that I always say like in a quarter, right? Like I think of the years in quarters. I don't know, maybe that's like a work thing, but I'm like, okay, Q1 2026, you want to clean out all your personal care items. How many do you have? First of all, go under your sink and get rid of things that have been there for more than 4 or 6 months. They're expired. You no longer need them. Like that NARS bronzer you've had for like 2 years, it's harboring bacteria and it's expired. So like, forget that it's toxic. It's expired.
Do you tell them, give them replacements or have like a list of like suggestions?
Yeah. So I build them a custom report. So if we're working one-on-one, first and foremost, I review all of their products. So if they're virtual, they send me literal pictures of like all their products, whether it's under their cabinet, on top, wherever it is. And I build a custom report for them. I list out all of their products. I give them 2 swaps. I tell them what's toxic in the products now and why they shouldn't be using those specific ingredients in their day-to-day routine. And then I build them like a custom, what I call like a custom toxicology health report. And I'll do like overlapping of like, how does this affect your specific health based on your genetics? So let's say someone does have a cancer diagnosis. I'm going to call out first and foremost, all of the immunotoxicants and carcinogens. Like these are our top priorities. We need to get these out of your home right away.
Do you do genetic testing?
No, I'm basically just based on their health history. I do like a huge health history interview when we first start working together. So like, what's your genetics? What's your health history? If they've got functional testing or they want to do some, we'll do that as well. But on the toxin-free reset program, we don't always have to do that. Like it really depends on what's going on with someone as an individual. Sometimes we'll do the total tox burden testing to say like, okay, what's really going on?
Is that like the heavy, like what goes into that? Is it the heavy metals?
Mold, heavy metals, chemicals. It's great. It's one of the best tests on the market to look at what's going on in your body. It looks at 11 different types of mold and aflatoxins, which is great. Yeah. And then I just help them over the time period of like, okay, you want to get rid of these products by this quarter or by end of year, we break it out. And I just hold them accountable, right? Like we have 25 products we're getting rid of this month. Here are the recommendations. Everyone's different in this journey. There are the people I've worked with who are like, get rid of it all now. And I'm like, go for it. Throw it all out. Like I'm happy for you. And then there are people who are like, I want to phase it out. Like, I don't want to spend all this money at once. And that's okay too. But I'm like, okay, but then we need to agree on a deadline. Because I think what people do is they, if we don't agree to a deadline of some sort, there's an emotional connection to our products, right?
I was going to say, like, what do you think the biggest resistance piece that you see when you're working with clients? Like an emotional connection? Or sometimes I feel like people are like, oh, at least with makeup and personal care products, like, oh, a non-toxic one isn't going to work as good as the conventional.
Which I always think is so interesting because first and foremost, it's not true. Like, and I'll talk about skincare for a second. Like non-toxic skincare often comes from plant-based enzymes or like a tallow-based product, which has like really nourishing fats in it. That stuff can actually change the appearance of your skin much faster than a synthetic skincare product that's also full of penetration enhancers, alcohol. So like, and you've got all these, like my biggest pet peeve are these like hydrating products on the market in conventional skincare that are full of super drying alcohol. And I'm like, so people are buying like a $200 hydrating cream. That's not working.
You're like, it's going to dry your skin out.
Yeah, it's going to dry your skin out, which then creates like combination skin and all these other skincare issues. But yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing I've seen people holding back is that emotional connection to products. And I mean, when people work with me one-on-one, I don't see it as much because like they're invested, right? This is like they're working with me at least 3 to 4 months, sometimes a full year. And so they're invested, right? And then this is also like a conversation. It's a negotiation, even with me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I reviewed 150 of your products. 100 of them, I would say that they're toxic. Let's get rid of them. The other 50, like 30 of them keep, 20 of them phase out. And then we kind of have a conversation, right? She's like, sometimes people say to me, like, I really want to keep Dawn soap for like the occasional yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, all right, well, if you get rid of these other 5 products, I'm okay with that. If you also keep the Dawn soap in your garage, so it's not off-gassing in your house. I'm like, I'm cool with that then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's about like doing things also in a sustainable way where you can have that mostly non-toxic home.
Yeah, I like that too, because it creates a little bit of a balance, and then some people don't feel like they're giving everything up. But then I also feel like eventually you just crowd out. You crowd out the bad stuff. And like once you start really seeing the benefits of and feeling better, then you just want more of it, you know?
That's also what happens too, right? Like I've had people work with me, you know, 3 years ago when I first launched this toxin-free reset program, I had people work with me on like an isolated part of their home. And they've come back 2 more times since then to be like, all right, we got to do the rest. People start getting like, they're like, okay, now I'm thinking about my mattress. I'm thinking about my furniture. I'm thinking about my clothing. Like, you know, people are saying more about like plastic activewear, right? Like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Yes, which is a hard one. It's a really hard one to get rid of, because when you've bought all of this activewear that's super expensive.
So expensive.
So it's like, you know, and then that's a whole other journey of like, which activewear that's non-toxic actually stays on, holds up, is like, you know, so this is all just like a journey. And I love to be part of people's journey in the beginning. I love to be part of it when they're more confident in this journey and they're like, okay, now I'm taking it to the next step. You know, I frequently get like texts from my clients being like, I've got my clearly filtered water bottle at a restaurant. And I'm like, I'm so proud of you.
That's such a good feeling too.
Yeah, it is.
So that's great. You do every aspect of the home and living then for low toxin living.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's so fun. I work with people in person, which has been like hilarious. I get to like literally see people's like under people's cabinets.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. It's, well, I was like, before we start, I give like an overview of like, I'm, you know, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm not going to do. Like, I'm not a professional organizer. I'm also like, you know.
That's true. That's true too.
You know, but it's really fun. And I think people really do want to do this at home and they just don't know how to do it. And that's the whole point of working with me one-on-one, is they're like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to do it. One influencer says this is toxic. One says it's not toxic. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, I got you. Let's quiet the noise. And let's also look at this from like your health perspective and do what's most important and most impactful for you and your family.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we are so bio-individual. You know, how I detox is different from how you detox, right? So sometimes people can handle more things than others. People have different sensitivities, different genetics, you know? So it is important to look at it from like a individual perspective. I think we forget that sometimes too, because there's so much information constantly flying at us where it's like, well, wait, even for diets and stuff too, it's like, does that feel good for me? Like, does that fit me? Does that, or is that just what people or the marketing or the news or whatever is being fed to me? You know, like really always trusting your gut or in intuition and going back to instincts, right? I think it's really important, and we're so busy, it's hard to slow down and think that way. But I think it's so important when it comes to health.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear-based marketing in the wellness industry. That's what I'll say. And I think that, you know, not everything is toxic, right? That's important for people to know. And, you know, I see a lot of this on the internet. And, you know, there's one influencer, I won't name names, but she talks all about lead and like lead this, lead that, lead this, lead that. And lead is naturally occurring in soil. And there's a big difference between like lead that comes from soil and lead that comes from a pan in your kitchen. They are not the same. And so if your like organic strawberry electrolyte product has a little bit of lead in it, that's okay. It's much better to do that than to drink Gatorade. Right?
Pick and choose your battles, right?
Really pick and choose your battles. Also, if you've got proper vitamin C and magnesium in your diet, your body will properly detox natural lead.
Such a good point. It's such a good point. Yes. I was going to ask you too, like, what are some things that the wellness industry gets wrong about toxins? So obviously lead. What's something else that you're seeing all over social media that people are like blowing up where you're like, this is not right?
Intermittent fasting and cold plunging.
Yeah, because cold plunging is not even, I heard, not really great for females, not great if you have chronic stress, cortisol overload, can make it worse, right?
It can make it way worse. And intermittent fasting is literally shutting down most women's metabolism, causing more hormonal imbalances,
especially after a certain age.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so those two, it's one of the biggest things that drives me just bonkers. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but estrogen HRT for every person who has night sweats, completely inaccurate and not appropriate. There are a lot of the symptoms that are estrogen dominance and low estrogen are almost identical.
I know. I just learned that recently too, which I didn't know before. I was really surprised by where I was like, oh, I really assumed high or estrogen dominance always versus lower progesterone estrogen lower. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even that has been a really big part of my work this year. I do some hormone testing with some clients and I've been working with folks in the perimenopause and menopause space. And it's just wild what folks are just being given at any doctor without real proper testing. I've seen in my practice of people getting sicker and worse from HRT, which is scary. And there's not a time and a place. There is a time and a place for sure.
Sure. For everything. There's a time and place for everything. I don't think anyone's saying don't do that. You know, it's just really about figuring out yourself, your body, and where you're at, meeting people where they're at, right? And understanding how to help. And it's really hard too, because I feel like people sometimes think that they're making the best decisions or going to the right doctors. And sometimes it's just not, or it's not landing well and the right tests aren't being done. So it can be very frustrating. You feel like you are doing all the right things, but you're not in the right hands or just got faulty advice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's no one's fault. The system is not set up for us to succeed from a health perspective, in my point.
No, 1,000%. 1,000%. How has your definition of health evolved throughout this whole journey and all of the work that you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I used to think that health was just clean eating and going to the gym. It's so not it. It's clean eating. It's exercising, but listening to your body. It's, balanced, being mindful of your central nervous system. It's taking space and time when you need it. It's understanding how to recharge your battery. It's reducing toxic load. It's doing things that bring you joy. Your health is so much more than, the 90s version of eat healthy and go to the gym.
Calories in, calories out, low fat, everything.
Yeah, I can't with that, And I was wrapped up in that world many, many years ago. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe I was doing that to my brain. I think about all that now,
Yeah, I love that. I love that you pulled in the emotional piece of it as well. Creating joy in your life, knowing when to recharge. Those are so important, especially for women, creating boundaries, all of that. It's just really, really important. I always used to think too of restriction, healthy meant restriction. I feel like in my precancerous self, that was the connotation between the two. And I feel like now it's just the opposite. When you're healthy, it's not, outside people that don't understand might think, oh, you're restricting. Oh, I have friends. Oh, I feel so bad you can't eat this burrata or the gluten, the bagel, And I'm like, don't feel bad. I'm good. If I want to, I can, but this is how I'm respecting my body. This is how I feel good. It might look like restriction to you, but to me, it's honoring myself in such a different way and supporting my health. It makes me feel more free. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I shared something on Instagram this morning. I don't know how we've gotten so far in life where we judge people who make healthy choices, but we don't judge people who eat processed foods, drink alcohol 7 days a week, never move their body, are chronically stressed, don't spend time with their family. I don't know. I don't know when we started glorifying that behavior, but it's not what life is about. We've lost the plot.
I totally agree. And I'm so glad you said that too. I actually feel when you start your health journey, if you're on a health journey, it can be very isolating, because at first people might be like, that's so great. Good for you. You're making these changes. But then after a while it's well, why aren't you drinking? And oh, just have the piece of bread. Who cares? It doesn't matter. And come on, it's dessert, and it's just it's not, that's not the point of it. That's not part of it, and it can make you feel isolating, and it can, yeah, like I 100% am more judged by how I eat than anything else that I do. All the time, by friends, by non-friends. And I find myself too, like, oh gosh, like I know when it's coming.
Yo, you always know it's coming. There's always like a pause before someone's about to say something. And I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. And it's exhausting sometimes too, but it's all worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah. I've tried to, in the last few years, like let go of other people's beliefs and misconceptions about my life, right? I think it's projecting more than anything. And it is what it is. We all get to make our own choices. Like I always say to my friends, like I'll go to my friend's house, they're like, don't look around. And I'm like, you're not paying me to look around. So don't get it twisted. I'm not looking around. Like I'm not.
I love that. I love that. I know that happens to me all the time. Don't look at my pantry. This is not Michelle approved. I hear that all the time. And I'm like, you do you. I'm not responsible for you. Like you, and that's the thing too. Like you're probably the same way. I don't judge anyone off of anything. And I tell my clients all the time too. I'm like, I meet you where you are. I've been where you are. There's no judgment whatsoever. Everyone is on their different journey. I happen to suffer at a very young age with a very heavy diagnosis. I'm glad that didn't happen to you, but like we're just in totally different places. There's no judgment. But sometimes I feel like we're the ones judged more.
Yeah, it isn't. Listen, I always say to people, I'm like, do you think I want to live this life? I'm like, I wish that like I didn't think about which Christmas tree to buy. And like, if I have to message the Airbnb to ask them, like, please don't like wash your linens in fragrance detergent before we come. Like, do you think I want to take these extra steps to protect myself and have extra work? No, but like, morally, for me, this is part of who I am. It's part of my values. It's part of my deep beliefs around health being the most important thing in your life, right? Like, I always say, like, if I am 90 years old and rollerblading with my grandkids, I have made it. Like, that's it. I have made it. Like, that'll be, like, beautiful, being able to, like, move, live life. Like, I don't want to live longer and be in a nursing home. I want to live longer and enjoy my life. That's why I'm doing all this. I'm thinking about my future.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. This was such a great conversation, Caitlin. Thank you so much. You are such a pleasure to talk to. Okay, tell everyone, where can they find you? What are your socials, your website, everything?
Yeah, so our website's just www.nontoxichomes.com. And then Instagram handle is just @nontoxichomes_. And then TikTok @nontoxichomes. So you can find me there.
Yeah. And you guys, her website has so much good information on there. Like even just to browse through it and peruse, you'll learn so much. And it's awesome. I encourage everyone to reach out to her, go to her website. I'll include all of your socials in the show notes as well as the website and everything like that. So if anyone's listening, if you want to reach out, if you want to start your low toxin journey, obviously she's like the best expert to go to. And now is the perfect time. You don't have to wait. Don't procrastinate it. Get going. Well, thank you so much. I hope we can have you back on soon. It was such a great conversation.
Yes, me too. Thanks, Michelle.